house music itself has black roots. People aren't really aware of that all the time. Through Afro House, they got to kind of take things full circle, you know, make people who should be associated with this kind of music feel comfortable in the spaces that play that music.
Das ist der Telekom Electronic Beats Podcast, der Podcast rund um Nachtleben und Clubkultur.
Wir sprechen mit DJs, Türstehern, Tänzern, Clubbetreibern und anderen Nachtmenschen.
Mein Name ist Gesine Kühne.
Und ich bin Jakob Töne.
Herzlich willkommen beim Electronic Beats Podcast.
Hello, it's me, Jakob Töne, and welcome to a new episode of the Telekom Electronic Beats podcast. Whenever I attend a party or go to a club, I have a feeling that everyone is looking for this particular vibe where the whole crowd feels excited and united by the music. There's one crew that brings this exact feeling to one of Berlin's most iconic clubs. I'm speaking about the Afro House parties at Watergate, Rise. But why is Afro House so buzzing, so electrifying? Where are the roots and why isn't it as big as it could be in the so-called capital of electronic music? To answer these questions, I speak to Rise creative director Aziz Saar and filmmaker Naomi Phillips. The two recently worked on a documentary called Above and Beyond: The Global Rise of Afro House that explores this cultural phenomenon from all angles. But they can tell the story best in their own words, so let's get into the conversation with Rise. Hi Aziz, hi Naomi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you feeling? You look a little bit tired, must say.
We're feeling great. I think we had a great time.
Yeah.
At a premiere.
Very good premiere, very nice after party. People were dancing, having a good time. I think they were catching the Afro House vibes.
Before we get too much into detail about the film, you were talking about the premiere right now, let's get to the start. And can you tell me briefly what Rise, what your collective is about?
Yeah, Rise is a crew of DJs, producers, event promoters who have a common passion for Afro House sound. And we just got together because we thought that as a collective we can just reach further. It was founded by Floyd Levine, Dede and Taina. And then later I joined. Minko joined, Jamie joined, and Amemi as well. And yeah, the basic idea is to really bring more house music from Africa to Berlin, but also to give a safe space for black people, but also like any POCs who feel sometimes a bit uncomfortable in Berlin.
So you saw a lack of parties that are celebrating diversity, also welcoming people of color?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a typical example, I would say, why we do this, because I was more, as a POC, more into the, typical POC party career, like hip-hop and dancehall and all that, because that's where more my people are. And when I wanted to try out electronic clubs the first time in Berlin, it was like one of the only ones, really. It was like, I think 15 years ago was the first time at Berghain. And I didn't really feel comfortable. I didn't feel represented. I saw like people looked at me strange, like, oh, a black person here.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't like based on a negative way, but still, you know, you just feel like you just want to go out, actually, not like the color.
Stand out. You don't always want to stand out.
Yeah, exactly. So with Afro House and with our nights, I think we give like a door opener for people who come from other music genres and who are not white, to have a place where they can enjoy house and techno, but where they feel a bit represented and welcome.
It's great how you described your first experience in an electronic music club 15 years ago in this cold techno club, which is very known for Berlin. And when I was preparing myself for this talk, I was thinking about, let's think about Berlin and Afro House, like the party Rise, is pretty much the opposite of what Berlin is known for. Like I said, this cold techno, this everybody's dances leading to the DJ booth, and everybody feels or seems very concentrated while doing this. How does it fit for you? Like, how does the Berlin city fit with Afro House, in your opinion, Aziz?
I mean, it's definitely getting more welcomed. I mean, I must also say 15 years ago, Berghain is different than now. Now I love going there. Now it's much more diverse. But still, in terms of music, I think it's still not very diverse. So, I think when you come to our parties, you see a little bit more the dancing together. You know, we have a lot of dancers from the house scene who come to us, who can express themselves. And yeah, just the feeling that, you know, yeah, there's a merge of also, you can see a culture that there, you know, because I mean, electronic music comes mainly from the computer. And with Afro House, you have a lot of elements from Africa, be it the vocals, the drums. And there you can see already that it comes from somewhere. It kind of represents a certain group of people. And those people are also there. And so it's kind of nice that you see the connection between the sound that you hear and also the people that you see around.
I get your point that Afro House has a longer history, I'd say. But of course, techno has also history and culture in the back, like in the 80s, 90s in America. But I totally get your point that you can really feel more emotions because they are more rooted, I'd say, when you listen to Afro House beats. As we talked before, like you have a lot of organic sounds like drums, for example, that they can just stand by their own. And yeah, you have some sort of feeling already and some sort of vibe that can be, I don't know, in a town in Angola or South Africa, or now be played at Watergate, for example.
Yeah.
When did it start at Watergate, at the well-known Watergate Club in Berlin?
I think the first party was 2014. And this basically started as an idea to have an evening where also music from Africa is represented. And yeah, and out of a party came the collective. I started my own Afro House parties already 2012, but my background is a little more from the Afro side.
It was at Yam, wasn't it?
No, my first Afro House party was like, I think it was Spreewaldplatz, was like 20 people.
Okay, back in the days.
I thought it was 20 people, and then it became one more, because the first time I saw Afro, I experienced Afro House was in Angola, 2011, and I immediately wanted to bring that vibe to Berlin. So I started, I kind of got together the Angolan community, they loved it, and then, yeah, became bigger and bigger. And when I heard that there's another crew or collective who also do that kind of sound, I immediately went to Watergate, we connected, and yeah.
Why did you choose an established club? Why didn't you want to maybe seek for a new place or maybe something just open up and you may also give them your brand?
Also, one of our main aims is also to show Afro House or the beauty of Afro House to other people, you know, because we think there's a lot of prejudices when it comes to sounds from Africa, like, oh, it's too exotic, can I dance to that? And I think when you hear Afro House is here, you hear immediately, oh, of course I can dance to it, it's house music basically, but just with African elements. And I think that's why, of course, it's important to go where there are also a lot of people, because if you would just do it in any off location, then of course Afro House fans would come. But with wise
aims, don't catch
to,
the new ones.
Yeah, that's the aim.
Yeah, that's a good point. Due to the corona pandemic we still are facing, things have become quieter. Everything been shut down, and all the events were not possible to make. But did you already had in mind to somehow still be connected with the community as a collective? I mean, you also hosting the events, doing the events to be connected, have this community vibe and vibing at that point when the pandemic started. Like, how did you feel? Did you already seek out for other options to be connected still with the community?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, man. That's one of the nice things of Rise, that you're really connected to many artists all over the world, and that we can invite them to Berlin, which is, of course, a very important place for every artist. When that platform kind of broke down, we still reach out, because we also have this our Wise mix, which comes out once a month, so that we continued. Then Wise is also a music label, so we continue to bring out music. And but then the movie was actually, an idea that we thought would be really nice to connect with everybody, because we're all kind of the same boat at the moment. We can't play, we can't do events. So let's find another way to show the beauty of Afro House and what we do. And I think all the artists and protagonists of the movie, they had the same thought and thought it's a great idea. So that's why everybody was so on board and loved the idea.
How did you get in touch, Naomi?
Aziz reached out to me. They were looking for a director to help them tell their story and tell, you know, their partner's story around the world. And for me, it was quite the challenge. Like, I immediately was on board when he told me about it because I wasn't familiar with Afro House, or I wasn't consciously familiar with Afro House, because you hear it, you hear the influences, but people don't really introduce the genre to you. So
you haven't been to the party before?
I hadn't at that point, no.
Oh, that's
I have now, which is, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was everything he told me it would be. But I went into it blindly, you know. I really trusted him that, you know, there was a story worth telling. And then I kind of just went along on the ride and I told them, okay, listen, I'm not that familiar with your music. I don't know the scene. Do you think I'm the right person to tell the story? And they said, yes, this is what Rise is about. This is why we're Watergate. We want to introduce people to Afro House. This is a music that you need to know. And you need to know the people who are making this music. So it was very easy to find the story. It was more, the challenge was, which story should we tell? Because there were so many fascinating aspects to all of this.
I can imagine also with all the influences, I mean, also in the southern part of the African continent, I assume that there are so many differences between each country. So I can imagine that it was pretty hard to find or to choose who's going to participate and who's not.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Africa is big, but even within one country, there are so many different elements. I mean, just within South Africa, which is like the main hub of Afro House, and there are different languages, different tribes, different cities who have their own kind of sound as well. So, that's probably one of the hardest things about the documentary, to kind of narrow it down to certain aspects and leaving some out where it kind of hurts you, because you're like, no, actually, I want to also tell that story and that story and that story. So, yeah, and that's the nice thing about Afro, that it's so diverse and so big. And
we pretty quickly found an angle, though, when we started talking about, you know, the roots of house music and the fact that house music itself has black roots, and that people aren't really aware of that all the time, and that, you know, diversity, safe spaces, that was such a big issue for Rise, and that through Afro House they got to kind of take things full circle, you know, make people who should be associated with this kind of music feel comfortable in the spaces that play that music. So that was a very interesting aspect to me that immediately made me want to make this film. And then just the element of house music being so popular on the African continent, in South Africa, it being like pop music over there. That to me was news. I've not had the pleasure of actually flying there yet. So I'm very keen to go there and, you know, experience all the parties for myself.
I'm sure Aziz can help with some tips.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly what you said, because I mean, most of the Rise members experience, or all of it, experience the vibe in Africa and how a different level it is over there. Over here, you're always like, even at Watergate, you're still this kind of niche party. You're like, oh, what is that? And over there, it's like the main thing you hear everywhere, basically. And this is kind of the story that we also want to show in the movie. Like, it's not a small thing as here, it's big, it's mainstream.
And it changes lives.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It really means something to the people who are making this music. It's not just something that you go to celebrate to. It's so much more than that. So we also tried to kind of capture that in the film as well.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I've told you before the recording that I've been to South Africa and I was pretty impressed how big it really was. Like, as I told you, when you switch on the radio, you have several stations airing house music, Afro house music. You got black coffee standing there in the supermarket as a shield. It was pretty impressive, because when you come from Germany, and I grew up and raised here, then you think about electronic music is something underground. And then when you see a party like Rise, it feels like more underground, because it's rare in Berlin. There are not so many spaces where you can listen to Afro House, and then you go to a country and it's blasting, it's crazy. You got those big festivals and you think there's a pop star coming, but it's, yeah, it's a DJ playing Afro House and everybody's going crazy.
Yeah, and the nice thing, I mean, here, for example, house and techno is mainly nightlife, but over there, Afro House is everywhere. So you hear it at the mall, you hear it at, no, at the beauty salon, you hear it at kids' birthday parties, you hear it at a wedding. So it's really much more mainstream than house and techno is here, you know? So it's like really like everywhere. It's like a really a cultural lifestyle over there.
I want to circle back to my initial question, how difficult it was to narrow down, as you said, to a list of artists you're going to work with for the documentary. But I mean, we were talking about the film and never mentioned the title before. Mm-hmm. The title is Above and Beyond, the Global Rise of Afro House. And my question was, I can imagine that it has its roots in the southern part of Africa and that it was difficult to really have a global scale and also to reach out to every angle of the world where Afro House is also playing maybe even a tiny role. But how difficult was it for you to really focus on certain areas and not just float around and found another community, find another community, etc.?
I would say that's where Naomi came in. And that's also why it's good that she comes from a different perspective, not being an expert in Afro House and being more an expert into filming. Because when it comes to me, it's like, yo, we have to show this scene and this scene and that scene and that scene. And then Naomi comes like, yeah, but hold on. From a film perspective, it doesn't make sense. We should more focus on maybe certain stories and stuff. And then, of course, when you see it, then you get it. And especially when I saw the first takes of the movie, I was like, yeah, okay, now I know what you mean. So
it's a time limitation and money limitation thing, because we would have loved to portray more artists. There's so much more to explore. But yeah, we just tried to focus a little bit more on the people who have a connection to Rise in a way, you know, so we can show the connection that Berlin has with the scene, the role that they play, what it means to people who come over here, and kind of bring the global aspect in that way, you know. But yeah, I think all the protagonists that we did end up choosing tell a unique story. They're worth knowing. They're handpicked with love.
Also great mixture of artists that are very well known in other genres, I'd say. For example, Henrik Schwarz, who's very known for his appearance on Inner Visions and was playing. I don't know, for example, I saw him at Royal Albert Hall some years ago. And then this connection with, for example, artists from Angola. So it was nice to see that, yeah, there's this range of artists that you can still show in a video or in a documentary that is limited, mm-hmm. as you said, in terms of budget, in terms of time. As you mentioned, that what role played Berlin in this Afro House scene, as we were talking about how big Afro House is in South Africa, what do you say, how big is Afro House in Germany and what role plays Germany in it?
Yeah, I got to be honest, at the moment Afro House is still kind of small, more known in communities. Of course, we have exchanges with other cities as well. And yeah, I mean, most Afro House fans come to the Rise parties from all over because they know that it's probably the only place we also bring the big artists from South Africa, from Angola, from everywhere. So yeah, it's still a niche, but I mean, that's a challenge, and that's a challenge we want to take with the crew, but also with projects like this documentary to bring it out of the shadow of the big house and techno night and the other genres, to really make it more mainstream and more accessible to most people, and that people are not so afraid of the term Afro, that they think, oh, that's something, a different music, that is, yeah, it's also house music. Yeah, don't be afraid of it.
Do you know of people who were in the same situation as you were, that you experienced a certain vibe, for example, at the Rise party and then went back? Maybe they were here for a visit in Berlin and then they went back to their small town in Germany and wanted to start their own Afro House party?
Yeah, there are many. I mean, there's a lot of people who knew Afro House and never thought that the sound would happen in Germany, because they thought, yeah, we'll play it here. And then they are so happy that in a famous club like Watergate, there's a night where music from Africa, African-inspired music is played. So yeah, there are quite a lot of people. That's where also a lot of people come from outside when there's Rise, because you hardly have a chance in any other club in Germany where you hear like a whole night of Afro House.
And Hyena, who's also one of the founding members of Rise and protagonists in the film, also makes a point of saying that Afro House is everywhere, but often not being recognized as such. And I do think that we hear the inspirations, we hear those percussive elements everywhere, and the vocals, but we don't really know that it's a genre. We don't know where it comes from. And that's why I think it's so important that, because you asked earlier, why did you choose Watergate Club? I think that's the point, is to show people that it doesn't have to be a niche thing. Just, you know, open your doors and hearts to it and listen.
I mean, artists, as I've mentioned, as Black Coffee, for example, who's also very, very, very successful all over the world, playing, I don't know, several Ibiza shows, is taking the Afro House to other countries. And, for example, also very big in the US, playing big halls. It's also very interesting to see, though. Mm. Naomi, you once said you wanted to make a small film initially. Now it's getting bigger and bigger. How did you feel about this?
I mean, yeah, it's precisely that. Who do you choose, you know? It was an impossible task. We could have made a film on South Africa alone because there's an abundance of talent. And then when they started telling me about things that were happening in different countries, like we portray Media Minds Kenya, for example, who work with tribes and record their sounds. And these are people who've, you know, never heard themselves, never heard their own voices before. And then they take their voices and they reach out to producers and turn these samples into music that these people can then dance to. Like these kind of things, it's like, how do you say no to that? You kind of have to include it in the film. So this is why it then turned into a bigger and bigger and bigger thing. And we noticed that we had something here. It's a story that hasn't been told properly before. And so, yeah, I thought it's worth putting my heart and soul and time into it, sweat and tears.
I can imagine. I mean, you've mentioned earlier that you had to limit also in terms of storytelling and you need stories to tell. But I can imagine then that when you hear something like this, you really want to put that in a documentary as well. And yeah, I can really imagine how you're sitting there and like thinking, oh God, we're now like 2 hours, 3 hours, we need to cut out.
Yeah. And
at some point. But yeah, I can really imagine that. I mean, as Rise is a collective, you haven't done a documentary like this before. How was it to really dive into this project, also to organize or like putting up the crew, to rearrange somehow to make this happen? How did you feel there?
It's definitely a new situation for us, you know. Normally we just get together to play or to make some music.
It's different.
And now
than like, event planning, yeah.
And the thing is, we had, of course, so much in our head because we know what's happening, but then to translate that into film, that's like a different task. And then, of course, you know, oh, there's so much cool material, let's get into the film. And then you realize, oh, it's not in 4K or it's only there, or you don't have the right to it. So like a totally new angle, which we never thought about. And yeah, but luckily we had experts to our side.
Yeah, but it was a challenge. I mean, shooting this in a pandemic, I mean, signing on to a music film when you know that there will be no music events is a little bit scary. And, you know, trying to organize everything from here, we did shoot nearly everything remotely. We had the same cameraman, the same DOP in New York and in Berlin, but everything else was done with local crews, with basically me sitting in my bedroom on my iPhone, checking Instagram, trying to get a feeling for the party that was going on, trying to tell them details that I saw on someone's feed and just, yeah.
So you're not just on the phone and talking to the people, you were sitting there and checking the Instagram feed and then texting them? Or?
Yeah, I was checking like crazy. I was trying to get a feel for it. And I was following all the protagonists for weeks, trying to see what they usually talk about. What do they try to capture? What do they point out? Yeah, but we were very lucky. We found some amazing people. You know, we were all united by a love of Afro House that I now share.
But it's also crazy when you make such a big project with people and you haven't met already. I mean, what are the plans? When are you going to meet the people?
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is that actually all of the protagonists of the movie, they were already partners of Rise. So most of them played already at our party.
So you've already met at some point?
Yeah. I mean, you could really say this documentary is really like a family project, basically, Afro House family project. I mean, of course, we had a limited budget, but still everybody was keen to make the best out of it because they all have the same task in their respective country to really show the beauty of Afro House. And when they know there's a crew, the Rice crew, especially from Berlin, which is like the house and techno capital, and they want to really show Afro House and what's happening and also show what's happening in our country, of course they were motivated to be in it and to show the best out of it. So that was really nice that it had this really good vibe that everybody wanted to have the best of the documentary, not like, oh no, those guys again, another interview. It's like, no. And they trusted us, so and I think they're happy with the result.
Great. How did you feel when the message came in that you can't travel around? I mean, I can imagine like every time I'm planning something or, I don't know, playing a festival, for example, I'm really, like the whole time, I'm really happy to be there soon. How did it feel then? I can imagine that you were also passionate to meet the people right there where they are and to also get the feeling, as you said, it's different to scroll down an Instagram feed than being there. I mean, still you can catch a vibe and you can follow people, may also catch up their opinions about certain vibes, about certain parties, but you cannot really catch it because you haven't been there. How did it feel back then when you got the message that you can't travel around?
I mean, when we started, the pandemic was already full on, so we kind of knew the challenge of the documentary. So it was not like we're going to plan now to be in all these festivals and then suddenly the pandemic comes, like, okay, there's pandemic, we still shoot that. How will you do it? That's why, of course, it made sense to go with artists that we already have a relationship with, because they're going to be the most helpful. Of course, there were certain parts that we really wanted to shoot over there. For example, I was supposed to shoot the Angola part because I have this really close relationship with Angola. That's where I found the sound. That's where I know many people. I knew exactly which parts should be shown there. I planned everything to detail.
And where then, to eat, where to sleep.
Especially what I wanted to show, you know?
Yeah.
Because especially Angola, many people don't even know how big Afro is over there. Most people associate always South Africa with it, but Angola is crazy. It's like 30,000 people Afro House race and stuff. And yeah, of course, when it said, no, I can't go, then I was like, I was so disappointed. But again, of course, we have a relationship with Angolan artists. They know us. We had a team over there who shot exactly what we wanted. So yeah, in the end, the result was nearly the same as I imagined it.
Was there any time where you thought about postponing the production?
No, not really. And I'm not sure why. I think it's just once you start, you don't want to stop. Mm. And you know you've got something there and you have the opportunity, so you have to make the most of it. And in a way, like, yeah, we were in the middle of a pandemic, but we were brought together through this project. So it didn't feel like a lonely time for me. I actually made more friends than ever during this time, and it's thanks to Rise, you know? So I think we just knew that we have the chance to create something special in a time that's pretty sad for a lot of people. And yeah, why not do it?
Yeah, and we wouldn't know how long the pandemic lasts anyway. So
yeah, I mean, it was pretty impressive just that you shoot it remotely. I mean, there are so many productions that are then postponed or like they flew everyone to a space where they can all flew in and to shoot. But it's, yeah, maybe it stands for the community vibe that you can just organize. You have people everywhere, creative people, you got cameramen, women where you can rely on and say, okay, we have this situation or this party, we need to catch up and need to shoot. It stands for a community, I'd say.
We also had the support from a startup. I think they're called Van Rote. I don't know how you pronounce it. They gave us equipment that would allow us to do the interviews from here. So they basically have like a better Skype, a Skype for filmmakers where I could watch the live feed of the camera. So yeah, it was like an effort from all kinds of places, people just contributing to be creative in that time.
Well, that's nice that you got also help, but I can imagine that it was also tough to get fundraising, to get to know those people and to catch up to use this technology.
Yeah, I mean, luckily the whole project was also like funded from a government. So, I mean, it didn't cover all of it. It was still a lot of, I mean, the budget was still limited.
Yeah.
So that we would have been able to create that kind of movie, we never thought that we'd be able. I mean, and that's, again, would was only possible because we knew each other and everybody wanted to get the best out of it. If that just be like a normal production, it was like, no, forget it with that budget.
Yeah, we could have made a music video of that budget also, like that kind of budget. But yeah, everyone helped us and provided footage. And
when for example, our great cameraman Stefan was planning to go on holidays there, then it's like, yo, there's this other DJ living next door. I was like, okay, I'm going to postpone my house a little bit and film there. So it was really... But that's the kind of spirit we had.
So everybody was also very passionate about the project.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can make up for a lot with time, which usually people don't take the time. But every interview was like at least an hour long, just to make sure that you can make up for the space, the fact that they're looking at a computer, you know?
Yeah, can imagine. Circling back to your first impressions of Afro House, was there any moment you can think back? Was a moment where you clicked with Afro House, where you were like, wow, okay, now I get it. Why all these people, why like all these crazy people are so into it and why they're also working hard. I mean, planning events and all that stuff is also a very hard job.
I think it happened very quickly with me because I wasn't familiar with it at all. So it wasn't like I didn't like it until I heard a certain track. I just wasn't aware of it before. And then it was exactly what Aziza told me. Like, I didn't really love house music before. I wouldn't seek it out consciously to listen to. But then Afro House just kind of really makes you want to dance and move. And it moves something in you. I found it was the perfect study music, the perfect music to work to. It kind of gets you into this trancey vibe. You get really focused and into it. But yeah, I think Land of Kush by Da Capo, which was part of the Sounds of Sasab project in Kenya, that really, it just blew my mind. And I just heard electronic music in a completely new way that incorporates these tribal voices that I was talking about. And it just gave me goosebumps. And I think it's a little bit like studying wine. Like once you get it, you suddenly hear all the nuances and all the other different types of house music as well. So now I really love electronic music.
That's a great comparison. How does it feel as he's listening, listening to that?
That's exactly what we always want to reach. And we know it's going to happen, you know. I mean, it happened to me. Like I said, I was totally no interest in electronic music. And then I landed in Angola. I was actually seeking out a Kuduro party, which is really the way faster version. But then I just ended up at a Afro House party. I remember DJ Jeff was playing, who's also a really big DJ who also came a lot to Rise. And yeah, and that's when I saw like 3,000 people vibing to Afro House music. I was like, wow. And 3,000 black people, you know, that's the thing I've never seen. I've never associated really electronic music with black people. I mean, I grew up in Berlin. I always saw the Love Parade. Was nice. Everything. Like, for me, it's like...
but
it's
different.
Nice. Yeah, honestly, I mean, for my community, from the perspective, was like the white music, which is like nice. I mean, nothing against it. But then we had our music. It was like hip-hop and reggae and dancehall. There was never this association. And then I was in Angola and see all these people dancing to house music. It's like, wow, okay, there's a different angle to it. Yeah, and that was such a door opener for me to electronic music. And now I'm in love with industrial house and industrial techno, which before I had to close my ears when I heard that. And now it's like,
I'm not there yet.
you're gonna trust me. I'll take you to Balkan and we dance to Bang Clock together.
Have you ever wondered how it can be that Afro House is so, so really big outside of Europe, but not here? Especially in Germany, where we are more familiar with electronic music, or especially in Berlin, where there's so many people coming in for house music.
So obvious thing I would say is like the lack of Africans, probably.
Yeah,
the African community compared to other countries is still pretty small. So, for example, in Portugal, Afro house music is really big, but there's a lot of people of Angolan descent, of Cape Verdean descent, Mozambican. So they have this much closer tie to Africa. Yeah, and I would say, honestly, it's this term Afro, which, of course, for many people kind of puts them off. They're saying, okay, it's something different, you know. And you could see it similar, like this is the rise of Afrobeats, you know, with all the big stars. It was the same before, you know, even people from hip-hop were like, oh, no, Afrobeats, that's something exotic. Now it's totally merged and Afrobeats is now the main thing. There's Drake and Wizkid doing songs and together. And I think that's the same with Afro House. I'm thinking it's just a matter of time until the big stars, like, yeah, we had the example of Solomon will hopefully do a track with Shimza together, because they see it's equal. It's not like there's the exotic side to it. It's house music.
Shimza, one of our protagonists in South Africa, was also talking about how over here we kind of put everything into a box. Like, we like to brand everything a certain way. So if you want to play for our festival, you need to sound a certain way. And he just refuses to do that, you know. He says, no, we've got our sound. You should open your minds to our sound in a way. I'm sure he can do anything, but he was kind of making the point that they have a more holistic approach to music. You know, it's not about everyone fitting in all the time, or it shouldn't be about that in music.
Yeah, that's the thing also when you go out in a club in Africa, you hear Afro House, then there's hip-hop coming, then, for example, Angola, then there's samba music coming, then there's funk music, then they switch to kizomba, and then there's house again. But for them, it's all music, and they can vibe to it. Here it's like, there's only a techno night, there's only hip-hop night, there's only that, and everybody's separated, and even the people have to dress a curtain code to that music,
yeah.
Which in Africa is not the case. For them, it's music, and that's why it's kind of merged much easier.
Show. Yeah,
and that's the kind of thing where also, I think at the moment, Afro House is over here. So normal house and techno lover put it in a box. Oh, Afro House, yeah. I'm not African, I've never been there, I'm not interested in Africa, so why should I go there? And that's the kind of thing I think that we need to change. Yeah.
As you said it in the beginning, Afro House is a mixture, like it includes a lot of genres and takes people from the Afrobeats or from the house side and can like merge everyone around. I think the problem may be in Berlin, as you said, it's very stricted, topic orientated, like you have a proper techno night. And for example, as you mentioned, Berghain is not the Berghain 15 years ago. Panorama Bar, I mean, of course, there are some evenings that are very diverse in terms of disco, other influences, but it always seems, as you also mentioned, exotic sometimes. Mm. Like when you play a disco track on the Berghain floor, like everybody else would say that's special because it's exotic. It's, you don't do this normally.
Mm.
And I think that may be the problem, that everybody stick to normal, like they need this. And when something is changing, then maybe some people also feel uncomfortable because, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think it's just like an outside. I think once you're on the dance floor and you hear the music, it's okay. I mean, like I said, when I go out, yeah, of course, I'm at Berghain, I go to Panorama Bar. And I mean, I never thought I would dance to Italo disco or something, you know, that was so far away. But when I'm on the dance floor, I go with the vibe. And that would be the same with Afro House. And every time when I dance at Panorama Bar, I'm like, yeah, I love it, I like it. But equally, there could be now played Afro House and people would vibe the same way.
Yeah.
Also the promoters, I mean, it's not only, I'm pretty sure the people would dance to it, but I think the promoters in Berlin need to be much more open when it comes to Afro House. Just try it out. They would reach a whole new community as well. I mean, Watergate sees this already, and luckily they grab the opportunity to bring something in new and they get a new crowd. But if the others would do it the same way, I would be so happy, you know. I'd be so happy if there's other collectives, other Afro House collectives who get a chance, you know. Let's not only have a Rice night, let's hopefully there are other Afro House nights where I can just go as a raver, you know. I don't want to be the promoter and DJ every time, you know, to hear the sound.
Maybe that's an open call right now.
Yeah, please, collectives, get together and push Afro House.
For example, DJs in Angola, how do they see, for example, the Berlin music scene? As you said, you connected and they probably played here and they may be more connected with Rice. But for example, when they're here, are they also talking about like the image Berlin or Germany, the German music scene has?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
what is
I mean, like, I think it's worldwide. I mean, Berlin is the main capital for house and techno music. And everybody knows who's playing here. Everybody knows who lives here. So everybody knows that clubs are open 24 hours. And of course, they love it. They respect it. And I mean, every time that I talk to them, they hope to play here sometime. And those who are able to come here and play here, for them, it was really a big thing, of course, in the respective country. I know that when Paulo Alves from Angola was here, he went back and was on radio and TV and talked about how he played in Berlin. And that's the kind of opportunity, of course, you want to give advice, you know, because you know it makes a big impact for them to play here. I know for any other house and techno DJ to play in Berlin, yeah, that's one station of many. But I know for many artists in Africa to play in Berlin are really big thing.
Very special, yeah.
Yeah, makes a really close connection to Berlin then.
Which is crazy because when they play back home, they have a huge audience. And here it feels special, it feels kind of weird. Because, I mean, here they're at Rise at Watergate, which is, of course, also a very big club, but it's limited. Mm. And it's not that they're also facing 30,000 people here, but that makes it interesting maybe for them to seek out or to get new people introduced to Afro House.
I mean, I was surprised when they said, yeah, Berlin, that's my thing, and I want to play there, and it was always a dream for me, because I see them playing in front of 5,000 people. I was like, yeah, why do you want to play in Berlin? You're playing in front of 500 maximum. Yeah, but still, it's Berlin. And when they played here, I mean, I kind of get what they want, because in Angola or South Africa also, you probably have one primetime slot, like 1 hour, and that's it. That's the nice thing of Berlin. You really give room for DJs to take you on a journey, you know? In most clubs, the DJ set is like minimum 2 hours up to, I don't know, 5 hours. And so there's the DJ can show much more as his own profile. And I think that's what many people also like about the city.
And there's a huge appreciation there for what producers over here are doing. You know, one of the protagonists as well, Tandy Dry in South Africa, she says, what are you guys eating? What are you guys drinking? You need to show me how to make those sounds. Like, there's a real love for Berlin there. So yeah, it's about giving them the opportunity to collaborate with artists as well.
And I really hope that clubs and promoters really realize what an impact they could have if I just like, from all these big nights with like 20 DJs, just take one from Africa, and it would make such a big difference. You know, don't always take the same names. And also for the club itself or the promoter, they would make such a close relationship with that country because they would speak about it all over, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, trust me, take African artists and you're going to see the club is going to have so much more fans worldwide.
We can definitely see that there's recognition in the city for Rise. I mean, you've recently been awarded by Tag der Deutschen Clubkultur, or Tag der Clubkultur in Berlin. And there's going to be an event on the 3rd of October. Can you tell us any secret plans?
Any secret plans? I mean, not really a secret. We're going to show the film again. So we want people to come out and experience what we've been talking about and, yeah, enjoy the Rise experience, enjoy Afro House, and get to meet incredible artists.
I mean, you've told me that that was the first party you attended, was the premiere last Sunday, right?
Yes.
I mean, when you told me about the party, you were so, I could see the sparks in your eyes. Must be very fun. So call for come.
It was truly special. You really have people, such a diverse crowd, every age, you know, and every background. And we had Shimza playing here as well. So I was filming him and I posted a video to Instagram, and I only noticed when I posted it that I was screaming the whole time. I don't know why I was screaming, but I was feeling it, you know. So yeah, it was special.
Maybe also a great opportunity to get an introduction into the music by watching a documentary and then attending the party afterwards.
Yeah. Sure.
I think we realized, I think a screening without an after party was not possible because people are such into the vibe, so they have to experience it.
Yeah. Cool. Aziz, Naomi, I thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks
for
having us.
And see you on the 3rd of October.
Yes, please.
That was my chat with Rise. Really keen to attend their next events and really looking forward to experience what we've talked about in real life. If you enjoyed this conversation, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or text us your feedback on Instagram. See you next time.
Das war der Telekom Electronic Beats Podcast.
Abonniert den Podcast bei Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify oder Deezer.
Wir sehen uns im Club.
Bis dann.